Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Today's kind of cool and kind of significant, and God, I've just got so much on my heart. I'm really filled up with the love and the joy of Jesus, which I know should be like every day, but some days it's less and some days it's more, right? Today it's a more day, and I'm just blessed to be walking in that. And I'm blessed because of you guys. Every Nation Eastside, we're about an eight-year-old church plant here, and I want to talk about why we're here. Why are we here? Because this is actually my last time to address Every Nation Eastside. Next week, Pastor and Prophet Jim LaFoon is going to be delivering the word. And then after the week following, we're not on the east side anymore. We're in the heart of Midtown. And my prayer is that we're all going to make it there together. That we, for those of you that are on the east side, you're going to travel a little bit further. As we chose this venue, we felt that. For those of us who have been traveling across from the west side, the trains go there a little bit easier. So praise the Lord. For me, it's a little bit easier, I'll have to admit. But it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. But this would be my last time addressing you in this room. And I think it would be good and significant to feel why we're here. And I would go amiss to not mention Pastor George and Tondra Gregory, because we would not be here without them. They're not in the room here. They're not going to probably ever hear this or maybe even hear of this. But what a man and woman of God they are. What a family they are. And praise God for the lasting impact that they've left upon this city, for the lasting impact they've left upon each of our lives. They answered the call to move to New York City. Tondra was very open about her desire not to be here, but God called her here. And I love, you know that God, you know one that you're praying to God when whatever you're praying to disagrees with you. If you ever pray to a God that only agrees with you, that's probably not God. Because I can't even get my wife to agree with me. How am I going to get the king of the universe to agree with me, right? She prayed to a real God, and God called her to this city. And they answered that call, and they planted this church. And they labored here for 7 years. And we've got to honor them. Why are we here? In part because of Pastor George and Tondra Gregory and the call of God on their life. Why are we here as well? It's because of the leaders that rose up to buttress them, to surround them. And we would not be here without the leaders that are leading teams, that are leading connect groups, Deacon Connor, Elder Dave. We would not be here without our leaders. And I want to just take a moment. Nobody actually wants to do this, but I want to honor our leaders. If you lead a connect group or a ministry team, would you just stand up? We want to recognize you, because we would not be here without you. Wow, they are leaders. They're just sitting down. Come on, leaders. Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Additionally, we would not be here without the incredible servants that have surrounded each of these leaders. If you're on a ministry team, I want you to stand up. If you're serving on a ministry team in any capacity, come on, stand up. If you're on our worship team or hospitality and media, children's church, accounting and counting, thank you. We cannot do church without these guys. And they're serving so faithfully every week. This is church. This is church. Church is people. And ultimately, we would not be here without the people that are here, the relationships, the bonds of Christ that connect us. Every single one of us, we are the church. We are Every Nation Eastside, and we will be Every Nation New York City AM service in just 2 weeks. We're going to have one powerful, action-packed Sunday morning service. And we're going to be meeting at 50th and Broadway at 10:30 a.m. So it's a new service. It's a new time. How many of you love that our screen went like Blair Witch Project this morning? That was not a design choice. That was just thrust upon us. I like it, though. We'll keep it. 50th and Broadway, a new time, a new location, but my prayer is that each and every one of us that will make the journey, whether it's shorter or further, that we'll be able to make it down there, and we will worship the Lord together. And as we do it, we're also picking up a lot more people. because our West Side service, which has been known as West Side, will no longer be known as West Side. They're also going to be known as Every Nation, New York City, AM service. And we're going to be worshiping together and going after God together. And honestly, I'm excited about this. I believe that this is the best move for our church. I believe that this is going to most strategically position us to reach the city. I believe that this is going to most strategically position us to grow together. I believe that we're going to know God more deeply. It's a great use of our financial resources. It's a great use of our leadership resources. And I'm really personally thrilled about this move. I like it. I feel confident about it. But I'm going to, can I get real? Can I get real?
Yes, amen.
Yeah? and this is said with nuance. And I don't want this sound bite to run away from me. But I've never seen this done before. And I don't know any, I know a fair few pastors, and I've heard a lot of stories, but I've never seen two congregations come together on equal footing. I've seen mergers and acquisitions, but I've never seen exactly what we're doing, which makes me pause and reflect and go, what are we doing? Again, I think it's good. This is the right move for our church. This is going to help us grow. This is going to position us strategically in our city. And I believe that this is a part of the story of who we are as Every Nation here in New York City. We're a 17-year-old church. God's been doing some great things through us. But it makes me pause and wonder, like, all right, so what are you doing, God? Who are we? Why are we here? And it's not always going to be super easy. I believe that we're going to face new challenges because of this, right? That's what I'm saying. I believe this is the right move. But I also know that we're going to face some new challenges. And so I want to look at a passage of Scripture that I feel sums this up. And to be honest, it's kind of like kind of like my children, this passage, in that you'll tell them something like, hey, it's time to turn off the TV, and then they absolutely melt down, and it's just like way too much. Because the analogy to bridge what we're going to face into this Scripture, like the Scripture is way more weighty than what we're actually facing. What we're looking at is a divide between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul starts to address this divide between these two ethnic groups, these two religious groups, and how they're both called together to be one in Christ. Now, the difference between East Side and West Side is not that much. We're not facing that big. I mean, it's like two letters, WS and ES, in front of our names, and that, you know, and there's a few cultural nuances, but we've been the same church since we were started. We've had the same mission since we started. We've had the same vision since we started. We've had the same leadership structures since we started. So it's not that big of a change, but at the same time, I want us to be ready to change. I want us to have within ourselves the bigness and the capacity to welcome new experiences, to welcome new people, to welcome new ways of doing things, and for us to be opened up to this newness that's coming. So that's why I wanted to turn to this passage, to prepare our hearts and remember, why are we here? Why are we here? Because I want to honor Pastor George and Tondra, and I want to honor our leaders, and I want to honor each of you. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built upon men or women. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built upon charismatic leaders. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built upon a name or a slogan or a hashtag or a marketing strategy. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a social club. It's not a good idea. It's not a way to help your life out. The Church of Jesus Christ is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and his work for us. It's built upon the blood of Christ. It's not built upon a good idea or even a calling of God. It's not built on a person or a strategy or a branding. It's none of that. It's built on Jesus, which means that as we move, we're not losing anything. As we lose our location, as we change venue, as we change time, what are we losing? It should feel like nothing compared to the surpassing weight that is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that that's not always our emotional experience. I know that for Eastsiders, you're going to be traveling a little bit further, and I want to feel that with us. I know that some new people is not always easy. I know I'm with many of you. I'm an introvert. I find it hard to get outside of myself and meet new people. I feel these things, but I want us to feel more weighty the foundation that remains the same and has always been there and is in every church that honors God, the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to get to today. So this is a far more difficult situation that this passage speaks about. This is bridging Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus. They had different customs. They had different dietary restrictions and requirements. I used to hold a connect group that had a lactose intolerant person and a gluten-free person, and cooking for both of these people was difficult. And so this is like two, they had two different dietary requirements, they had two different cultural backgrounds, they had two different value sets, and Paul is asking them to come together and to get along and to accommodate each other. And so what does he remind you of? He reminds them of why they're here in the first place. And I want to remind us of why we're here in the first place. So we're going to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I just want to pause right there. Whether you were born in church, whether you're born under a pew, whether your dad's a pastor, whether you feel like you've always grown up in church, or if you are brand new to the faith, if you were born in the furthest place from a church, we all have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that's a phrase that's bandied about a lot in church, but just for a moment, let's pause. Because I've never seen anybody have to shed blood for me. But that was the case with Jesus Christ. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God incarnate, God himself came down in the person of Jesus and shed his blood so that I, who was far off, could be brought near. Though I was an enemy of Christ, and while I was an enemy of Christ, he gave of himself to forgive me. And forgiving me cost him his life. Which means that once we understand what God has forgiven me of, once we understand what God has forgiven you of, and the mountain that he's climbed to bring us near, and the obstacles that he's overcome to bring us near, how dare we erect obstacles between us and a brother? How dare we put obstacles between me and you? How dare we put obstacles between different political parties or different ethnicities or different worship styles? How dare we do that? Why are we here? We're here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're here because God died for me and for you. I was serving in our church in Edinburgh, and Elsa and I started an outreach to underprivileged housing community in Edinburgh, Scotland. And much to our surprise, the children from this community started to walk 2 miles uphill to be at our church. We couldn't believe it. This was not expected. But the children from this community, they had no church background, started coming into our church. And they didn't behave like church people. They stole our stuff. They kicked the backs of the seats. They would march around in circles during our services. And it ticked off our good church folks. And some of them said, either they go or I go. And I loved it. Our senior leader at the time said, well, there's the door. But they didn't understand, and I got pretty angry at God as well. I was like, God, this is, they're disrupting your house. You know, I would defend these children in public and then go to God in private and be like, God, this is ticking me off. This is your house. Don't they understand? You're the King of Kings, and they're so irreverent. How dare they? And God said, listen, do you think that you've forgiven them of more than I've forgiven you of? Do you think they're raising more of a stink in the house than you did? Listen to your self-righteous prayers. You think that you're that great? You know better. You're a pastor. Come on, you've got a theology degree. You've read my word. You've been humbled by me. You know me. They have no clue. How dare we put up obstacles in our church? How dare we judge people within our church when the judgment that could have been brought against us has already been removed? We've got to remember where we're from. We've got to remember what God has done. We've got to remember why we're here. For he himself, verse 14, I'll start back at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the laws and commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So remember, this is two ethnic and religious groups that were entirely different, very night and day, and God here is bringing them together, saying, I've killed the hostility between you two by killing the hostility between me and you. I have a lot to be judgmental about. God is pure perfection, ensconced in glory, shrined in light and life and purity, and he looks down on us, mere mortals, who think that we're better than him, and he has a lot to be judgmental about. But he says, the hostility that we could be experiencing, I've killed so that you and your brother might know each other, and so that you and I might know each other, and we can all live in this new thing that we're calling church together. Church is not our idea. Church is God's idea. Jesus established it. Jesus started it. And God, through the whole Bible, has been calling people to himself. That's the mission of God from chapter 3, to call people back to himself. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Actually, really chapter 1, because he creates people, they rebel against him, and he starts calling them back. He wants a people here on earth to experience the goodness of himself. For the last 2,000 years, we've called it church. Again, God's idea. Church is the Greek word, it comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which literally just means called out. Those who have been called out, called together. God has been calling out his people, calling them back to himself since the dawn of time. This is God's idea. And this is why we're here. And we're coming together to be built together. We're coming together to build something together. In verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and he came and preached peace to those who are near. Both those who are far off, those who grew up very far from God, and those who grew up in church, we both need the same peace of God preached to us. We both need the same gospel. None of us get to graduate from needing God, needing his love, needing his affection, needing his grace and his mercy brought to us. As I grew up in church, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I oftentimes would think that I was better than people in church because of that. Eventually, God got a hold of me in a real way and taught me that I need the grace of God as much as the worst person, whoever the worst person in your mind or in my mind, they need the grace of God, or you need the grace of God as much as they do. That's the peace of God. It kills hostility. It kills judgmentalness. It kills self-righteousness. And when we get it, then we can't really raise up against our brother, even though they do something differently than us. Came and preached peace who are far off, preached peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. And so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So this verse starts by saying, we had these two people, these two groups, and God is building them together. And it first calls them fellow citizens. And then it calls them members of the same household. And then it starts to talk about how we're built together into a same building. And these are sort of three concentric circles, if you will, of closeness. It starts with fellow citizens. And I have a lot of fellow citizens that I really disagree with, right? We share the same passport. We share the same national identity. But from there, our similarities and our differences kind of stop. We don't always speak the same language. We don't always sing the same songs. We don't vote the same way. We don't think the same way. Our differences start really right around there. But we're not going to go to war with each other, probably. Right? Wow. I thought that was kind of funny in my head. Maybe it's not the morning for that. We're not going to fight against each other. By God's grace, we're not going to fight against each other. And then it starts to talk about how we're members of the same household, family members. Family members we have affinity towards. We have allegiance to, we have loyalty to, we love. And then it starts to talk about how we're built into the same house, into the same temple. And this is a process of deep closeness. Think about two stones coming together and being built together. One accommodates the other. And one accommodates the other by losing parts of itself. You can't mash two stones together and get them to fit and lock together without them being chipped apart first, without them grinding, without them sacrificing, laying down a part of one stone to accommodate the other. And we as a church are being built together. If we will choose to remember where we're from, if we choose to remember how God has brought us together, if we choose to remember how Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, made the most accommodating move ever done, the one that had every right to destroy you, the one who had every right to rise up in judgment against you, instead came down to serve you and love you. That's an accommodating move. He accommodated sin. And he doesn't tolerate it, but he brought it upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. That's service. That's deference. That's humility. That's love. And so now he calls us to love one another the way that Christ loved you. He calls us to be built together, to accommodate one another, to fit together, to allow parts of you to be chipped off and allow parts of your brother to be chipped off, brother and sister, I'm using the pejorative, so that we might fit together, so that we might be built together, so that we could actually build something beautiful together. A while ago, I came across this TED Talk. I love watching TED Talks and just kind of being filled with as much weird, diverse knowledge as I possibly can. And it was about this temple being built in South America. And it was a $30 million project. And temples are beautiful. I've visited temples around the world, and I think that we can learn from them while we don't celebrate the same gods as them, right? They're a different team, but we can look at them and go, wow, that's really beautiful. Like, people did something good there. People did something. I disagree with the premise, but it's beautiful. There's this temple being built in South America, $30 million project, and it's this, they're creating a sacred space out of nothing, and it was a very interesting project. And they developed brand new materials that the earth had never seen before to create this temple. They took this particular kind of glass and broke it and then recast it, so it's this broken, shattered-looking glass on the inside, on the outside, and on the inside, there was a vein of very precious stone in a mine in Portugal that the owners of the mine had sat not let anybody mine this vein for 7 generations. They'd been saving it for the right project, and they sold it to develop this temple. And this, it sits with the Andes behind it and this beautiful city below it. And I looked at this, and I was jealous. Man, why, God, do we meet in a crummy movie theater? I was in a different church at the time. Why do we meet in a crummy school? And why can't we reflect you and glorify you in the same way? And it's because I don't understand what God is building. Because God has a temple. But it's not a temple built by any human architect. It's not a temple built from any physical materials. It's not a temple built or designed by man. He says, I will not dwell in a temple built by man. I'm going to dwell in a temple that I build, a temple of my own creation. And here it speaks of that temple. Humans coming together, living life on life to reflect and refract to the glory of God and to shout to the nations, God is real and God is good. Christians, we don't have temples built by man. And we don't worship and hold tight to our buildings because we understand that they're just bricks and mortar. But God is building something that's eternal, that will outlast the sun, that will outlast any construct or development of this earth. It's eternal. And as soon as your life comes in contact with God Almighty, as soon as you give your life to Jesus Christ, your life gets built and established on the foundation piece that is Jesus Christ. As soon as you give your life to him, you become eternal. I don't fully understand it, but when we give our life to Christ, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you know the Father. Your eternal life starts as soon as you know God, as soon as you invite him into your life, as soon as you give your life to him and ask him to forgive your sins, ask him to be brought near and say, I believe that blood of Jesus Christ covers my sins. As soon as our life gets built into that, our life gets built into something eternal. Eternal weight, eternal significance, and we start to build something together. Let's read this again. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. We're a part of an internal structure. And it doesn't matter if it's called East Side. It doesn't matter if it's called West Side. It doesn't matter if it meets in a theater, in a school, or in a park. I want us to feel the weight of Jesus Christ being our cornerstone. We're saved because of him. We're brought near because of him. We're forgiven because of him. We can tear down dividing walls because of him. We can choose to walk in love and grace towards our enemy or our opposite because of him. We're having areas of our life graciously and lovingly, surgically removed from us so that we can fit together with other brothers and sisters, so that we can build an eternal structure together that's forever going to glorify God. Temples are these thin spaces built normally on tops of mountains to see people connect with the divine, to connect with the transcendent. But here we are forever carrying around within ourselves the divine and the transcendent. And yet also, simultaneously, the imminent. God right there with us, closer than our next breath. God within us, the Holy Spirit, came to live inside of us. This is what we're carrying around all the time. Your body is a temple. That is what it means. It doesn't mean that you eat health foods or work out. Your body is a temple. It means that God is living inside of you. And as we come together, we become a home for the Spirit of God. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Eastside, we've done some very special things here. People have come to know God here because of the people, the men and the women, the leaders, the servants, the church that have availed ourselves to God. We've started to build some things, I believe, that are of eternal quality. The fact that we can connect with God. Do you know how significant that is? That throughout this world, there are people that pray prayers to dead gods, that lift up hands and bow knees to gods that don't exist. Do you know how significant it is that we can praise and we can worship God here? Do you know how significant it is that God chooses to abide in the praises of his people, that he has chosen to kiss our congregation with the presence of God Almighty, that he visits with us? Let's not take that for granted. God doesn't just turn up to everybody. That he resides in between us in relationships, that he visits our connect groups, that he answers our prayers, that he would hear us at all. Let's not take that for granted. The fact that we've seen people come to know him here, that we've seen people grow in him here, that is a beautiful blessing. Eastside, we've done some extraordinary things, but let's not just honor the men and women that have done it. Let's honor the God that's done it and see that he continues to do it through this church. Guys, I believe that we're going from glory to glory as we make this move. And my invitation is, would you do this with us? Would you continue to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? He's here and he's going to be there. He's with us, or better, we're with him. As we move, I've been talking to other leaders, and there's just a deep desire that everything that we do in this new location, in this new service, is honoring to Jesus Christ. He's going to be front and center. This is not about a man or a woman, a person or a leadership structure. This is about Jesus. And we're doing some strategic moves to hopefully Our heart and our hope is to make him better known, to make our king better seen, so that we can step out of the way and let him take center stage more and more and more. Guys, I'm really excited about where we're going. I believe that this is absolutely the best move. But I'm not looking at it with just rose-tinted glasses. This is going to be hard. But to do this, we're going to need to understand where we've come from, the grace that has been extended to us, and to choose to extend that grace to this new service, to the new people that we're going to meet. Jesus opened up his heart, so we're going to choose to open, my prayer is that we're going to choose to open up our heart to meet new people, to make new friendships, to build new connect groups, to serve on new teams. If you're not a part of a team, my encouragement is get a part of a team. I understand that there's seasons that you can't do it. I understand that, but serving is such a blessing. Jesus Christ served us, and we get to enter into what he's doing on earth as we serve like he served. Yeah, I know it's beneath you. It was beneath our king as well. Anyway. I'll skip over that thought. It's been such a blessing to serve here. And I recognize that what we have here is not because of me. It's first and foremost because of our King Jesus. And then it's because of the men and women that have answered the call. And so I want to honor them, but more than anything, I want to honor our King. Let's take a moment to just thank God for what he's done here. And, yes. Let's invite the band up here. God, you've been good to us. We don't take you for granted. I pray that we would see just the great and extraordinary blessing it is to have the chance pray to you, to experience your love and your presence. To be saved, to have the wrath of God removed from us. To be forgiven, to walk in forgiveness towards our brothers and towards our sisters. I thank you that you're going to grow us as we step into this new place. Numerically, sure. But within ourselves, God, you're going to grow us as we connect with you in a deeper way, as we choose to be built together, to be a dwelling place of God. We're going to grow. God, I pray that you would strengthen us internally, strengthen our inner person. God, to take on what you're asking us to take on. To let go of the things that you're asking us to let go. For some of us, we're going to let go of judgment. We're going to let go of the way that we've judged people in our lives. Jesus Christ forgave you. Jesus Christ loved you. He spilt his blood for you. And in such a vein, we're going to let go of our judgments. We're going to let go of our self-righteousness. We're going to let go of the way that we think that we know better than such and such or so and so. Or that we could do it better. Maybe you could. That doesn't matter. For some of us, we're going to pick something up. Maybe it's responsibility. Maybe it's caring about an area of this church. Maybe it's caring for a person in this church. But we're going to pick something up. And God, I pray that, thank you for calling Pastor George and Tondra to pick something up here in New York City. And I believe that each of us are called to pick something up. Maybe it's in our local community. Maybe it's in our apartment building. Maybe it's in our school district, our education district. Maybe it's in this church, but God, I thank you that you're calling your people to be your body, to be your agents in this city and in this church. And God, I pray that we would carry the weight that you've designed us to carry, that we would accomplish the purpose for which we were made, that we not shrink back from your calling, because there I believe that we're going to find your blessing, we're going to find your love. We're going to find ourselves being developed and grown into the people that you've called us to be. God, for every one of us that's laying something down, I pray your blessing upon them. For every one of us who's picking something up in this moment, God, I pray your blessing and your strength upon us. Thank you, God, for every nation east side, for what you've accomplished here, for the love that you've poured out here. Lord, I pray that you would go before us. Unless you go, we don't want to go. I pray that you would go before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.